Hi, I'm Ty.
And I'm Laura.
And we're Cancer Moms.
We will be discussing the ins and outs of what to expect on the wild ride we call childhood cancer.
Join us twice a month as we share stories of hope, inspiration, hear testimonies from families and healthcare professionals, and discuss the amazing people and organizations who help cancer families every day.
We are the ladies of Golden Voices.
In episode 19 of the Golden Voices podcast, Ty and Laura sit down with Allison Hicks. Allison Hicks is the founder of an amazing organization called the Chelsea Hicks Foundation. Tune in today to hear all about Chelsea's Closet and how costumes are making a difference in the lives of children today.
Hey, Ty.
Hey, Laura. How are you?
I'm fabulous, as always. We're together.
We are together.
Like in real life, like not Zencaster, not Zooming.
Yeah. No Zooming.
I kind of like the video because we still get to see each other. And I think that the sound has been pretty good, but not today. We're in real life.
And we have a special guest who is joining us actually in person today.
I'm so excited. We're at our big conference table. And at the other end, I'm waving to you. Hello, Allison.
Hello.
Hello. How are you? Thank you for driving all the way. I was going to say down, but you came over today.
I came over all the way from Pacific City.
Pacific City. I love that you were at the beach this morning while you're sitting in my office. And then you get to go back to the beach.
I get to go back to the beach. Yay.
Oh, my goodness. Well, thank you, Allison Hicks, for joining us from Chelsea's Closet.
Happy to be here.
Oh, we're so excited to tell everybody about you guys and all of the amazing things that you do and about Chelsea and just about how we both have been impacted by your foundation and how even a teenager, my teenage boy, has been impacted, but especially Ty, your family, has been really brought into kind of your bigger family, the Chelsea Closet family. And I can't wait to post pictures on our webpage because I can't wait for you guys to see these pictures going back a couple years. So let's just dive in. We're so glad you're here. And again, thank you for driving down and over.
It's it was one of those like really like special moments, I would say. I can't even describe the impact that your organization had on our family's experience going through this cancer journey. And I am always so grateful that we have continued to stay in touch. And I'm really looking forward to letting everyone know about this great work that your organization, Chelsea Hicks Foundation, does for families. And I remember I actually didn't get to meet you that December. It was December of 2018. Lucy had just been diagnosed the month before with her leukemia diagnosis. And I think we were probably on day 23 or 24 of isolation inpatient when the Chelsea Hicks Foundation brought the special closet up to the 10th floor on Dornbecker. And I remember we got a knock on the door, which my door was always open. So it was like the special like reach in and like knock on the door. But Kristen came down to our room and asked if Grace and Lucy would like a costume. And I just remember the joy and happiness and that kind of just lit up on their faces. They're like, costumes? We had absolutely no idea what your organization was and what you were doing there that day. And so they were like, yes, I remember Lucy chose Belle and Grace chose Elsa. I just remember the costumes coming down and there were these matching shoes, which at the time the shoes were so big, but they were so, so grateful to just have received these costumes. And I think, Lucy was going through a really tough time with the MRSA diagnosis and, kind of learning how to walk again because she had lost a lot of movement and mobility in her legs because that's where the MRSA was. And so she was down for several weeks. But I just remember her putting on this costume and Grace putting on this costume and having this princess fashion show in the room. And everyone was just so happy and excited. So I want to thank you, Allison, for that memory, because it pops up quite often on my timeline. And I think every single time that I see a post by the Chelsea Hicks Foundation, I'm always like, and look at my kids, look at Lucy. And I always have to post them because Lucy, with her big old cheeks, she'd been on steroids at that point, probably for about 40 days. And they were just so tiny and little, but just the joy and happiness that you can see on their faces that you guys brought to them. I want to thank you for that because it's a memory that I really hold close to my heart. And I'm really excited that you're here today to tell us a little bit more about Chelsea's Closet.
Well, that, in a nutshell, is exactly why we do what we do.
No, I was just going to say, I'm so sorry to interrupt, but can we talk a little bit about the closet? Because the three of us are sitting here knowing what this closet looks like, but I'm just sitting here thinking about our audience members who are like, a closet, yay, you bring a closet up to the floor. It's not a closet. Like, this looks like nothing that you guys go to in your own homes. So we're going to post pictures, but maybe we can come back to it too, but this is not a closet, you guys. This is like a stagecoach. That's what it comes to mind when I think about it.
It's like a traveling performer's, like, yes, you open up the big old, that's like, exactly wardrobe doors.
It's exactly, it's a rolling armoire filled with costumes. Okay. That's an easy way to say it. It is 6 feet by 5 feet by 4 feet, double-sided, one side pant side, one side skirt side is basically how we have it. So anything dress, skirt, super flouncy goes on the one side. The other side is all of the costumes with pants and, you know, Chewbacca and Star Wars and superhero and knight, you know, anything really silly and crazy like that.
And it's so beautiful.
It fits about 250 costumes if we just cram it full. And then each side has four drawers. And in those drawers are all the accessories. Tiaras, wands, lightsabers, swords, pirate gear, cowboy gear. Anything you can think of or that we can think of. Silly slippers, funny glasses. Anything that they can wear or accessorize with that really gives them something fun. So many of the children that we work with are bald or losing their hair or in different stages having surgeries, and if they put on a silly hat, it totally changes how they perceive themselves when they look in the mirror. For us with Chelsea, she was into tattoos, so we would put big huge tattoos on her head, and they called her the tattoo princess when she was on the floor because she was always in a princess gown and she would have tattoos on her head. And that is what made her not feel sad, because people would look at her and she was so young and she was bald, and she would always tell us she didn't like the sad eyes. So when she had on a costume or when she had tattoos on her head, people were smiling at her, and it totally changed her confidence at such a young age.
This closet is actually what you bring up to the floor, right?
Correct.
I actually never have seen the closet. So when this, you started describing this, no, because Lucy and Grace were in isolation, so we couldn't leave our room. And so that's why Kristen was kind of going around, you know, the floor to make sure that all of the children who wanted costumes had the opportunity to get these costumes. So I have never physically actually seen the closet. So when you asked this, Laura, it was so great because I'm like, oh, wow. And then when we have done some other things with Allison and the foundation, we'd gone to the warehouse. So again, the closet wasn't there, but I've seen a picture of it on your website, but I really appreciate that description because I could have just imagined the girls like walking up to this closet and like looking at all of the different options. So I wonder if that's really the option that they would have picked, just if they had seen so many different ones. But, you know, I think that's so wonderful. And I'm excited that you shared that because I have never seen it, but we have got to enjoy all of the costumes that have come out of it.
Now, knowing your girls, they would have only chosen Star Wars.
You know, that's so funny because when Grace was five, I think that she didn't really know that much about Star Wars. But now, definitely, if we were on the floor, I mean, the last couple of years, I would say Grace has really gotten into Star Wars and can really understand what's happening. So it might have changed. But when they were 3 and 5, I mean, Disney princesses were the it thing and they really loved that. And, you know, like with Elsa and the freezing of the wand and all of the pretend play that they did with that was something right down their alley. So those costumes were perfect.
Well, we want to get in more detail, and I'm sorry, Allison, I did interrupt you. I told you I was notorious for interrupting, as our listeners know. But I want to just chime in a little bit about, you know, here we were talking about Mac. Mac was 12, 13 going through treatment, and Mac was a huge dress-up kid. And, I mean, we still have a ton of dress-up stuff. But he was not feeling anything during treatment. I mean, he hated every second of it. So I was always out in the halls because I was a little social and wanted to be out talking with everybody. So of course they're like, Chelsea's closet's here. And I'm like, ooh, I don't know what Chelsea's closet is, but let's go check it out. So of course I'm chit-chatting with the ladies that I loved, and I see this beautiful armoire of gorgeousness, and I'm looking through everything and I'm probably oohing and aahing, and they're like, well, what would he like? And I'm like, probably nothing. And they're like, well, what size is he? And I'm like, oh, he probably doesn't want anything. And then there was this like Angry Bird onesie, and I was like, oh, that's kind of cute. Like, who doesn't want a Angry Bird onesie? Like, it looks really comfortable. And then my niece, who actually at the beginning of treatment actually came, because they live in Portland, and they came to the hospital a lot, and she would go to the playroom, and she was coming later that day. And so they asked if she wanted a costume, and I thought that that was the most generous thing ever. I mean, like, I have goosebumps thinking about how generous that was, because I mean, who thought about my niece? And here she was coming to the hospital while Aunt, you know, her parents hung out with me. And so we chose Elsa and some fairy wings. Well, fast forward now, 2.5 years later, she still wears those fairy wings. And she now still wears Elsa. She wears the fairy wings and the costume in various stages, but she still has the costume and she still remembers that she got it when Mac was in the hospital.
Well, and that was a big thing for us. Chelsea was the youngest of my three girls, and she's 5 and 7 years younger than her sisters. So we had two really close together, and then waited till they got in school and had another. And so with Chelsea, she was always kind of the living doll. And the three of these girls were together all the time doing everything. I also have three nieces that are Chelsea's age and younger. So they all, the four of those all play together. And for us in the hospital, we're all up in Portland. Everybody was together. We always had them there. So we always took a suitcase full of costumes so that we could do dress up when we were inpatient with Chelsea. And that's how Chelsea's Closet started, pre-thinking how it started. And she would share them with kids on the floor, share them with her cousins. It's just what we did all the time. And when we started the foundation, our older girls said, you have to include the siblings. And they were 4th and 6th grade when Chelsea passed away. And they had the insight then that they felt so left out by organizations, that everything was all about Chelsea, not about everybody else. And we fought her battle as a family. Everybody was involved. Everybody helped. Everybody supported us. So having that close-knit family, it was really important that we knew, okay, if we take this up to the hospital, it can't just be about the child. If there's cousins, friends, siblings, who's ever there with that child also needs to have that experience. Because it's great to have the child inpatient in a costume, but if they can play and interact with their cousins, friends, siblings that are there with them, it gives those happy memories. Because for us, we hold on to those happy memories of Chelsea and her sisters and her cousins. Not every family gets the good ending. And if I can look back at that journey and my daughters can look back at that journey with their sister and think of those happy things rather than her having a surgery almost every month, her having something major happen every month. If they can get those happy thoughts, then that trauma for them is a little bit lessened. And that's really our goal, is to give them a little bit of happiness that they can hold on to carry them through the rest of what they're doing.
I think it's so important. And I think it seems like a small thing, but it's so big. And I think in terms of organizations to include those siblings and family members, I mean, it's, again, it seems so small, but it's not until you are living it and or you're really reaching out to these organizations intimately and knowing that how infrequently sometimes siblings and family members are included. And so to have that be part of, that was a no-brainer for you guys, is huge.
Yeah, that was our first thing. It was like, we had anybody that's there with them is included. The biggest family has been 8 kids.
Wow.
And we were thrilled to do it. I was like, okay, bring them on.
Well, I can tell you, I mean, I was, are you sure? I mean, I was.
We get that
like,
all the
are you
time.
Sure? She's not even here yet. Are you sure? Like, I mean, she's coming, but she's not here. Are you sure? I mean, I probably was annoying.
You're not the first, and you won't be the last.
And how horrible that I was, you know, probably 10 times. Are you sure that we're conditioned to not include them so much so? I mean, talk about changing our thinking. But I love that that is just how you guys set out before you even knew you were setting out.
Well, and our thing, you know, we go up with 250 costumes roughly. If we come back with none, that's my dream. I would love to go up there and have everything gone when I came back. That would be an amazing day. That's my goal. Someday we'll go up there and everything will get taken. I would be thrilled to death.
I love it.
I love it too. And I think that that's from day one. You guys have always included Grace in every event that we've gone to, every special trip up to, you know, where you guys house all the costumes at the warehouse, guys' office. Grace has always been included. And Grace's journey was very similar to your other daughters, and that's she was with us from day one. There was a few times throughout the week where we were at first, you know, trying to keep things as normal as we could, or what we thought, you know, keeping her in school. She had just started kindergarten, but she was up there every Thursday. You know, my in-laws would drive her up and she would stay with Kellen. And then unfortunately, you know, she couldn't stay at the hospital, which was a big change for us because we were always together. And, you know, Grace and Kellen would commute back and forth to our friend Debbie's house, but they would be right back in the morning before rounds. So she spent a lot of time there. And I know being able to be included has been a big impact on her life. And I think through some of the things that we're dealing with now, just I think there is trauma within these siblings and what they experience. And for Grace, like one of the loves of her life, you know, she loves her sister dearly, and watching her go through that, it's been hard. And now that she's getting a little bit older, you know, there are things that we have noticed. But I do think that including her as much as we could and we did, and having the opportunity for organizations to include her too, I know was a big thing, because there were organizations that came in and, you know, Lucy, do you want a present? And then Grace is sitting there and she's like, okay, like, you're not going to ask me, like, kind of look on her face. She never said anything. She's not that person to be like, well, what about me? She's always about others and helping them. And she's just a really kind, sweet soul. But I know that it was hard. I mean, being 5 years old and someone coming in with this basket of goodies and then not offering the other sibling. I don't know. I just think that is such a wonderful thing that you're doing. And I wish more organizations would understand that or look at that piece, because we are on this journey together. It's not just about, obviously it's about our child going through cancer, but it's our family going through this journey. And we are all very impacted by it. So I want to thank you again for that as well. I know that was a huge thing for Grace and still continues to be. I mean, I talk to you, you know, via messenger or however we're communicating, email, and you're always like, how's Lucy and Grace? Right. And so that's just something that makes you even this that much more special.
It's so important, because they have to watch their sibling or cousin or however it is going through such traumatic things. I mean, with us, I stopped counting at 13 surgeries with Chelsea, and in 22 months, she had scars everywhere. And we used to joke pretty much all those scars are going to be connected, you know, and having her sister's watches and having to take care of all of those incisions and do that. Our girls always wanted to be with their sister. So they saw all the trauma that her little physical body was going through, and having us shield them from everything. At one point we couldn't do it anymore. And so they saw the good, the bad, and they needed to be brought in on the good as well. And that was really important for us, that we keep that going when we started this foundation, is, you know, if the patient gets good, so does who's with them.
We keep talking about Chelsea. Allison, I would really love for you to share a little bit more about Chelsea and her journey and kind of how it led to ultimately creating Chelsea's Closet in her memory, and being able to continue to love and help families through a really difficult journey.
Yeah, I mean, gosh. I remember diagnosis day like it was yesterday, even though it was 15 years ago.
Oh my gosh, 15 years ago.
And so for us, it started with Chelsea had a tummy ache. Chelsea was my child that didn't have any early hospitalizations. I have babies early, so my first two were preemies. Chelsea at 4 weeks early was a preemie, but not really. So it's like, yay, no early long hospital in the beginning. And so we got to her third birthday and barely a cold, barely anything, nothing. So she turned 3 in January, and the weekend before Easter, she had a tummy ache. Wanted to snuggle in bed with me, snuggled in bed. She had a lump next to her belly button. And they had always told us, you know, your kids might get an umbilical hernia. No big deal if that happens. come in, we fix it. So in my mind, okay, that little lump, umbilical hernia, our other two daughters didn't have it. We'll just go to the doctor in the morning, get it taken care of, no big deal. And also, child number three, I've lived through colds, I've lived through hospital, no big deal. So went to the pediatrician in the morning. Within 5 minutes, he knew what it was. Amazing pediatrician.
Holy cow.
Love him dearly. His very dear friend was actually the number two Wilms researcher in the nation and was at Dornbecker. So, I mean, things aligned.
Oh, my gosh.
It was weird. You know, he went out of the room, made a phone call, came back in the room, said, this is what I believe is going on. I'm not going to do blood work.
He even said, I think it's Wilms.
Yes. And just so people know, Wilms tumor, less than 5% worldwide get Wilms tuber cancer. It's very rare. There's very little research on it that's really current. I mean, the protocols that we use during her are 20 years old. So there's not a lot of research done because it is such a rare cancer. And supposedly it is one of the better cancers to get because the treatments typically work for us. Chelsea was stage 4, which means it had spread and metastasized. Typically with Wilms, it's found earlier because there's symptoms. Chelsea had zero symptoms, which she should have. Her initial tumor was the size of a Nerf football. So think of a 3-year-old with a tumor that large. It took up her abdomen. My girls, when they were little, were skinny skinnies. You know, 50% for their weight, but they were 95% for their height. So they were tall and skinny, so they lived in leggings. Chelsea was my first little one that could wear a pair of jeans. And so we were ecstatic. Well, little did we know that she had this tumor that was helping her tummy get big. And her tummy wasn't big. It wasn't bloated. You couldn't tell. She didn't have any urinary problems because the Wilms tumor attaches to the kidney. Zero issues. So it progressed really quickly in her, and we didn't know it. And so when we went from the pediatrician's office straight to Dornbecker. It was go in. They'd called Dornbecker ahead of time. They were ready for us. We walked in. We just kind of bypassed everything and went straight to the 10th floor. My husband had been working out of town, and so he had to fly in from California that night. And it was just this whole big whirlwind of, okay, this is what it is. Imaging's tomorrow morning, and we'll get going, and boom, boom, boom. So the first couple days were really in this cloud. And I had stopped by home to pack a bag for Chelsea, not thinking I would need a bag. Why? I thought I would be leaving right away. I don't know. But yeah, we had stuff. And I threw in some dress-up clothes in there because she always loved to dress up. That was just kind of the initial of it. And so that started our journey. And we found out what it was the next day, and that it was Wilms and everything, what our protocol was going to be and all of that. And that kind of started our journey. And that was April of 2007.
That's right, because right before, Easter. I was going to say you're coming up on it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we started doing that, and that kind of took us down our road with Wilms tumor and learning about it. I tried to stay in my bubble as much as I could and didn't go on the internet and look up too much stuff, which was nice for me. Because then I didn't get too freaked out about it. And I tried to look at her journey as how are her symptoms. And for her, a lot of the chemos that she was on hyped her up. And she wanted to do stuff. And she wasn't one that typically laid in bed. The volunteers loved it because she would want to play. And she was full of energy. And I was like, oh, thank goodness a volunteer. Take her for 15 minutes. I want to shower. My goal every day, let me shower. Yes. You know, if I could shower every day, I was like, okay, I could wash it off.
I was going to say, that's pretty good, because I feel like it might have been like days in between when I had the opportunity to shower. But I love that you were able to do that for yourself, because Laura and I have talked a lot about self-care and how important that is on this journey. So being able to recognize that, you know, pretty early on that, hey, a shower is going to help me do a little reset and get ready to go for the next thing that, you know, we have going on with Chelsea and all the other things. So,
well, and truth be told, a shower, no one could hear me crying. That was my place to lose it. And then I could wash it away and I could come out, and I had to be the strong one. My husband is amazing and is the biggest teddy bear in the world, but he wears his heart on his sleeve much more than I do. And so I could compartmentalize it. I could hear all the information I needed to from the doctors, and then I could go in the shower and just let it go. That was a big way for me to do it. And Chelsea hated it when we cried in front of her. Hated it. She would always tell me, stop crying.
So just from the sounds of it, Chelsea seemed to be like a pretty energetic, happy little girl.
Oh, she was. There's most of her pictures, she's smiling and laughing, even when she's going through horrible stuff. And she was she compartmentalized as well. So something would happen, like when she got accessed for her port, she would scream, literally scream bloody murder. You would think you were pulling her toenails off. Mm-hmm. And as soon as it was done, 2 seconds later, happy, laughing, giggling, playing. She had to get it out, and then she was done. There was nothing long-term, nothing for days and days.
It's funny that you say that because, prior to us recording, we're talking about our kids being in different states and talking about Mac, and he has a lot of medical trauma and just how difficult treatment was for him in that kind of pre-adolescent state. But every single picture he took, he has the biggest smile on her face. Probably conditioning of this generation of stopping and smiling. But you would never guess that he had a difficult journey throughout it because he could be feeling horribly. And then I would take a picture and he's got this big old smile on his face. And so it's going to be so interesting to see, like, as time progresses, how he looks back on it and sees these pictures. Like, if he will remember some of the difficult time or if he'll make that connection. As you look back and she's got these smiles on her face, but yet she had, how many surgeries?
I stopped counting at 13. I think she had 19. Mm-hmm. Trying to look back at some of the notes. Mm-hmm. But in 22 months, 19 surgeries, that's pretty huge. And hers weren't small. I mean, her initial surgery was an incision from hip bone to hip bone. And it removed her right kidney and lymph nodes and some other tissue.
And how old was Chelsea?
She had just turned 3 when she was diagnosed. And she weighed, I still remember this, at 3 years old, her weigh-in was 36 pounds.
Wow. But how much did that tumor weigh? Did they ever tell you that?
They never told me that. At 5 when she passed, she was 25 pounds.
Oh, jeez. Oh, my gosh. Oh, gosh.
So the devastation it did. And she was still growing tall.
Wow, really?
Her height, she didn't have a slowdown in her height at all. It was just, we could not keep weight on her.
That's something that, the weight was something big in Lucy's journey too, I remember. And just looking back at her pictures, it took a while. I mean, we finally have now, made it up to 52 pounds. But for the longest time, she was under that 30-pound threshold too. And I would look back at these pictures and again, Lucy was always smiling as well in her pictures. And I think maybe that's where the misconception is from everyone that thinks, oh, childhood cancer, like they're always bald and smiling.
They are.
But it's not that we didn't be like, okay, Lucy, now smile. It's just, I think her little personality, and I think they just, maybe that little extra smile like helped them, they weren't going to put themselves maybe in that feeling of what was really going on, like having those major surgeries and those pokes and all of the chemos and medications pumping through their body, and maybe didn't make them feel very good, but just like, hey, we're kids. We're still gonna kind of do the things that we do, and we're gonna get through this, hopefully,
Just well, and so often, I mean, this really dates us. Jason had just gotten his first iPhone when Chelsea was inpatient, and that instant being able to see the picture was huge for Chelsea. We would take a picture. She'd want to, let me see it. Take a picture. Let me see it. It was constant. So she learned posing early on and it was all about, let me pose for the picture. Yeah. She loved it.
Oh, I bet she loved it.
She was very outgoing and
sounds like it.
She owned the room. She would, from a young age, she would walk in and it would light up and she owned a room.
It sounds like she might have like owned the floor.
Right.
Yeah. If she could have, she would have. She led the parades. She's the one that got the other kids to do parades around the floor and would line people up and would give them a, here, you need a bow, you need a tiara. She was awesome.
So I imagine you guys spent a lot of time inpatient then with all those surgeries, or was the Wilms protocol outpatient at all?
Wilms initially was outpatient. The first 6 months was outpatient. But she always got a fever, so we were always inpatient. So as much as we were supposed to be outpatient, we weren't. Gotcha. And then at our 6-month check, we then had to get rescanned and all of that, and it wasn't working. So then it was a straight switch course, straight inpatient. So we would go, typically we were inpatient for 3 weeks every month.
It's a lot of time.
We had 1 month where we were only out for 4 days. But I mean, there's others that are in there for 60, 80 days easily. We were very blessed that we live close to the hospital. And so they got used to, okay, you can go home. You may be back tomorrow, but they would at least give us a reprieve. And my husband was an EMT, so had that medical background. And so that helped as well because they knew, okay, you'll be back up in a heartbeat. You understand. I think they gave us a little bit more leeway because of our medical background.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we were so close. We could get there in 12 minutes if we needed to.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that makes a big difference. Mm-hmm. So how old was she then when she passed?
She had just turned 5.
Did she know what was going on at that point?
I believe very much so. And I think early on, she knew. She was a very wise soul. She talked about a lot of things that you wouldn't expect somebody her age to talk about. We weren't what I would call a religious family, but she talked a lot about talking with God, sitting on Jesus' lap. She had a pile of questions. Her last week here, she had a pile of questions that she was going to ask when she got there.
Really?
And they were questions, I'm gonna get all teary-eyed. Yep. There were questions that a child would ask. Why does it hurt? Why are there so many kids? Why does it happen? We haven't done anything. She, in her little mind, thought she had done something to make her get cancer. And she wanted to know why.
At 5.
At 5. It's like, and that's not something we as a family ever talked about. And it just always implored and made me think about, how does this child know these types of conversations? Because it's not something we had around her or she would have heard any of us talk about. But she was very adamant about, I can't wait till I get to sit on his lap and ask these questions and I'm going to help the other kids. And she was like, when other kids come, I'm going to help them and we're going to dress up and we're going to play. And she had done what she was going to do. And at the end, she was comforting me. I'm going to be okay, Mom. I'll be okay. It won't hurt. And to have this little girl tell you this, you know, my last day was just, again, I remember it like a heartbeat. It's just ingrained in me, everything that we talked about. And you don't think of a 5-year-old doing that.
No. No. Not at all. And so, and that she's on her last day even talking about dressing up, like, what an important part of her life, and that that gave her such happiness, and that she's talking about giving back. And at 5.
Yeah. She was all about making people smile. She wanted to laugh and play and make other people happy. That was just her. Unless it was her cousins playing with her toys. Then there was definitely that rivalry going on.
Well, it's just a good comforting thought, you know, that we're strong believers in our, you know, in our family, and we talk a lot about Jesus, and you know, I find comfort in that it's not even my own child, that, you know, that she's in a place, you know, and helping and visiting our other friends and just leading the reins like she did, you know, on the floor. And I don't know, I feel like we've heard some other stories where God has been very present in these children's lives. And I find comfort and peace in that, because just knowing where we're going, that like her work here, you know, of course we want her here. You know, you as a mom, you want her here, and her family and, you know, everyone wants her here, but that she knew where she was going and her work wasn't over. The greatest place that we could ever imagine going, and she's there and loving on these kids and playing dress up. I don't know. It's super powerful that with just these stories that I've heard of these children coming together and God is greeting them and welcoming them back home, because we're all just here for, we're just kind of on lend for a little bit, you know, and, you know, what work we can do here, but then just understanding that the work still is continuing wherever we're going. And I love that. I find so much peace, and I haven't even met Chelsea. I've just known her through you. And just shows that God loves us and she's being loved on up there as much as, you know, you were loving on her here.
Well, and I absolutely believe that she guided us in so many ways in the beginning. So many strange things happened and connections were made and doors were opened that typically I don't think would have been. And there's so many weird correlations that happen. I mean, long story short, early on, my niece nominated me for a Woman of the Year through Glamour Magazine. Sally Hansen and Glamour Magazine partnered up, and they do every year. They choose four people in the U.S. and feature them in the magazine. And my niece was in high school at the time, wrote a letter into them, and they ended up, I was thrown in the mix. I got interviewed by them, and then it went out for a national vote. And people voted on, you know, narrowed the pool of eight contestants down to four. I ended up being chosen as one of the featured people. So I'm in the magazine. I'm in Glamour magazine. Rihanna was on the cover. What? Yeah, it was very cool. And so I got to fly back to New York, and they did a photo shoot and a whole week stay back there and hair and makeup and all of this fun, really crazy stuff. So I got to pretend I was a model for a day.
This is early on in treatment?
This was after she had passed. And the foundation had been started maybe a year or two. I mean, we were very new into doing this. And it was in the Chelsea district.
Oh, you're kidding.
The building we were filming in and doing anything was the Chelsea Co-op. Chelsea had always said that she would send us red balloons throughout time. There was red balloons on our drive over there. It was just like, I had my sister-in-law with me, and we were like, oh my gosh, this is just goosebumps the whole way. These weird random things, like, why me? Out of Tigard, Oregon, would I get chosen and voted on by people I didn't know to be able to go and do this? It was just amazing.
Well, I don't know if you're Tyrai or if you're listening. I mean, it's pretty obvious, but but wow. Oh, she.
So, I mean, just weird little, you know, we started talking to people when we first started, and all of a sudden we had a connection that gave us 100 costumes. Here, start.
So how did, I mean, so here she is, you know, You get this potential diagnosis. You don't pack for yourself, but you pack her suitcase and you're like, I'm going to throw in some dress-up clothes, right? And so how do you then pick up the pieces after this loss and move forward and say, let's start a foundation?
Another Chelsea moment. My sister-in-law and I, this is 2 months after she had passed, and I'm trying my darndest to be human again. And my sister-in-law had Blazer tickets. And she's like, we're going to a Blazer game. I'm getting you out of the house. I'm getting you away where there's lots of noise and commotion. Mm-hmm. And so we're at the Blazer game. And I looked at her. I said, you know, I had this dream about Chelsea. And my sister-in-law is like, gosh, so did I. Tell me your dream. We had the same dream about bringing up Chelsea's closet to the hospital to the kids. And I was like, okay, that's too weird. And so we started discussing it. And it was literally the same dream about taking up the costumes and sharing them with the kids and creating this program. And started talking about it. And you know, that's how Chelsea's Closet and making the foundation was formed, was so that we needed to do this. We were like, she's telling us this is what we need to do. And I was in a sales job at the time, working for a copier company. And so I'm like, oh, how do I do this? I work full time. My sister-in-law had three young children, five and below. You know, how do we carve out time to do this? And we just started talking with friends and family and getting some key people together for different functions. And by November of 2009, we had started the foundation. By March of 2010, we had our first visit into the hospital.
Oh my gosh.
And so we just started rolling with it. Wow. And it was like, okay, we'll figure it out. We'll do this. That's how Chelsea's Closet started. We knew what we wanted. We knew the key things that we wanted to do with the program. We knew what we wanted to offer the families. We did it. It's almost like we didn't know enough to be scared. And I'm really glad that we didn't do major research ahead of time. We just dove in. And my sister-in-law and I are both very get-it-done people, whatever we need to do. And we did. And, you know, 12 years later, it's still rocking and rolling.
Do you have any idea how many costumes you've given away?
We've given out more than 13,000 costumes.
Oh, my gosh.
And you guys go, you obviously donate back to Dornbecker's, but you actually have an actual closet in Randall's. Is that correct?
We do. We, at Dornbecker, we are only on the oncology floor. So at Dornbecker, we do 10 South and then clinic. Mm-hmm. At Randall, we serve all the floors. And so not only do we do the oncology kids, but we do everybody, which is awesome. We go over to the burn unit, but we have a permanent closet that was established early on the oncology floor. And it's a closet that somebody else provided them years ago, but nobody was supplying anything in it. So we've filled that since day one. That was exciting for us to be able to do. But we built 2 years ago a nice 6-foot closet that is housed down in their physical therapy, occupational therapy department for the kids. The where they have it placed in the hospital is very key to where it's so many steps to get to it. So they can encourage the kids, okay, if you do this, then you can choose a costume or you can choose an accessory. They'll use it for, because it's filled with costumes and accessories. Each time the kids are there, if they do X, Y, and Z, they get to pick a different piece of their costume. So they'll start, if it's a little girl and she wants a princess attire, they'll start with the tiara and then the wand and then the shoes and then the gloves. And the final thing is the dress. So they build up on this, and they'll do it same with boys, with pirate or superhero or whatever. They'll start with the pieces, the shield, the mask, whatever. And then the final thing will be the costume. So down in physical therapy, they're really finding ways to use that closet in unique ways. And we noticed early on that the physical therapists would come up when we were on the floor and get costumes for the kids. And that's how the conversation started with them to build this permanent closet down there. And we were lucky enough to work with both Randall Children's Hospital and Knight Cancer Foundation to be able to get a grant that funded that initially.
Well, what great reinforcements for the kids.
It is. It's such a great, and it's a great kind of segue for other hospitals too, to find engaging ways for the kids to go through their physical therapy. We know that we use wands for Chelsea because she had lung surgeries and surgery in her abdomen and whatnot, that we had to get her to stretch and to reach. And so a wand in her hand was a great way for her to be able to reach for something because she was reaching with the wand. She wasn't thinking about doing the exercises she needed to do. Mm-hmm. And so being able to give that to hospitals as a physical therapy aspect of it has really been kind of a full circle type thing for us.
Do you plan to see Chelsea's closets? I know you're currently in Oregon and serving the children at both Randall's and Dornbecker's, but do you see this program leaving our state and partnering with other hospitals, or is it just going to stay here in Oregon?
There's two answers. Main answer, yes. I would love for it to be in every children's hospital. On the flip side, that scares the heck out of me, because like, oh my gosh, it almost makes, not that it isn't real, but it makes it real. Mm-hmm. We've had requests from Children's Hospital in Orange County, up in Tacoma, up in Seattle. I'm not ready to make that jump yet, just because I think that we need staff on board. We need to figure out the logistics. One component that COVID was great with for us is it made us rethink how we were delivering the closet because we couldn't be in the hospital. Mm-hmm. So we started our costume care package program.
Oh, tell us more about that.
The costume care package program is kind of twofold. We're working with Child Life to be able to give them names and take up costumes and deliver there if they need like a quick turnaround. Or any family can go online and fill out the form online and we can ship it to them. So we're sending costumes to Texas and Minnesota and Kansas and Arizona, Seattle, we can now get our program in other states, which will then help us in turn go to those hospitals, because one of the things they have to do is let us know what hospital they're being treated at. And so we can then go to the hospital and say, you know, we've seen X amount of children at your hospital. Is this a program? And with our permanent closet that's housed at the hospital, we can do that in segments. So they can choose a 2-foot, 4-foot, 6-foot section, custom design the interior of it to them to fit their needs. And so we can then work with them to then fill that closet on, you know, the back end. But the Costume Care Package program has been really great for us to see and roll out a new program that was different and new. And I love being able to go to other states and that. And so much is word of mouth. And so parents are on all these different boards and, you know, talking with all these different groups. And so I always tell them, if I get somebody in a new state, well, please tell the other families you're working with that we have this program available. It's free. We'd love to send you a costume.
See, I just love everything about that and understanding how important, you know, that communication is and making sure that families can get this information, because it allows you guys to be exposed, you know, in other states and giving other hospitals the opportunity to partner and create these closets that are showing just such wonderful things that are happening within these children to allow them to get through their programs or the steps needed to be able to fulfill, like you were saying, a therapy, you know, appointment, or just having something to look forward to as well, I think is so important for our kiddos on this journey. And just having those little milestones, like I loved how you were like, they get a wand, you know, maybe week one, we got a wand, week two, we got the shoes, you know, and then building up to that big final piece to complete their full on outfit, which creates and puts them into that character that allows them to be like, this is who I am for today. And I'm not worrying about all the other things, you know, that are going on right now, because this right now is the most important thing, and allows your child to be a kid and allows them to experience what kids are doing every day, dressing up, you know, in their own homes. But obviously with our kiddos, we do it in the hospitals or in other facilities where they're receiving treatment. And so I just love everything about this. But it's super cool because I'm learning that you guys are serving people nationwide. They have the opportunity.
We're in 10 states.
That's awesome. You know, people have the opportunity to come, you know, from little small foundation in Oregon, you know, Chelsea's Closet, when you're making your way across the nation and seeing how much joy and happiness, you know, that your foundation is bringing to others is just so rewarding. And I think that's what continues us to want to help and to be involved in these families' journeys, because there's a reward for us. Like we know that feeling, we've experienced that feeling, and now giving it to others, it's priceless. You can't even put a dollar amount on what that feeling is.
I think there's so many silver linings of COVID. I mean, I truly believe that. And I think that this is one of them.
We had always thought we wanted to be able to do that. We were thinking make a birthday club or something. Yeah. We weren't sure how to do it. And then when we immediately stopped being able to go in the hospital, I'm like, right. The kids are still there.
Yeah.
How do we do this?
Yeah.
And I'm like, let's just start this. And it was just kind of a, let's throw it together. And the other thing we do, we don't just do the costumes. We have toys. We get a lot of toys donated throughout the year. And so in that costume care package, there's a craft, there's toys, there's activities. Kids are in their room. And now with COVID, there's so much more isolation. And so we have to give them stuff to keep them busy.
Absolutely. And I know, Allison, we've had conversations about the other things that Chelsea's Closet, like you said, isn't just serving the children who are inpatient, or I mean, most of them could be outpatient, but you talked about potentially for birthdays and some other special events that Chelsea's Closet wants to be a part of that.
We work with a couple other organizations as well that have been really fun. Make-A-Wish has been a great one for us to partner with, just because kids go on very specific wishes. And we've had a child and their sibling, their wish was Hawaii. And the family sent us pictures of big brother in a shark costume, little sister running down the beach in her mermaid costume. And it's hilarious. And their comment was, the people on the beach didn't know what we were doing, But these kids had a ball. And to be able to give them those silly memories of going to Hawaii, mermaid and shark chasing, you know, or we just did one of a teenager, 17 years old, went on a shopping spree. And he wanted to be a king for a day. So we did king crown, the big scepter, the big cloak and robe that was all dressed up. And he was so thrilled with that. You know, it's those little things. If we can make their wish a little bit brighter, that's what we're there for. And these groups that we can partner with, we partnered with You Can Do for their camp. They always do a dress up dance. And so we went out there and took tons of costumes and these kids got to dress up and be silly and crazy and didn't have to worry about trying to bring something to camp. Mm-hmm. They had it there. And the other thing, these kids get to keep everything from head to toe.
That's the thing we didn't talk about. And they're not used, brand new, and they get to keep everything, which is a lot of inventory for you guys.
It is a lot of inventory. We have more than 4,000 costumes at our warehouse that are in flux all the time.
So how can people find you guys? How can people donate to this amazing cause? Tell us a little bit about, again, where we can find you.
Easiest way, our website is ChelseaHicksFoundation.org. That's the easiest way to find us. As far as donations, for us, we go through a lot of teen costumes, which people don't think teens. People think typically 3 to 6. Mm-hmm. Those are your dress-up ages. We have a lot of teens, and you were talking about the Angry Bird onesie.
Onesies and big slippers.
Mm-hmm. And big slippers are huge for us. Onesies are great because they're easy access. Mm-hmm. If they have a port, if they have IVs in the chest, which a lot of the kids do, mm-hmm. they unzip it. They don't feel like they have to get undressed. Mm-hmm. They still feel covered up. And onesies don't have feet, so they don't get overly hot in them. We get requests all the time for those. So onesies are a big deal. And you can only find them really half the year. And so they're hard to find. And so, you know, once it gets summertime, they start going in the stores. So then we try and load up on them. But we always go through them. They're the first thing people want. And the other thing, sports shirts, jerseys. Those are huge as well. And then your normal costumes. But onesies and sports jerseys are the biggest thing we always need because we go through those. And the other thing, baby costumes. The 0 to 12 month. And those costumes really obviously are more for the parent, but they want to feel a part of it. They want to feel that encouragement. And also on the flip side, that may be their only opportunity for a picture of their child dressed up. And people forget about that. People forget about the flip side of the journey.
So when people do donate, do you like them to go shopping or does it not really matter if they could obviously go to your website and they can contribute financially if that, but if they actually want to donate costumes that are brand new that they have purchased, would they just go and send them to you guys?
They can send them to us. They can, you know, ship them through Amazon to us. They can, we have people come and deliver them to us and I'm happy to pick stuff up as well. So, you know, we're pretty easy to get things to. A lot of times we have people that will deliver them to the hospital and then tell the hospital. They just have to bag them with our information on there.
Lots of different ways to get these things to you guys. So especially those teen onesies, jerseys, and infant costumes.
And I'm thinking, I know Grace and Lucy have been really big into helping Jack do the Legos. It might be really fun to have Grace and Lucy, maybe Mac would like to join, that we could get a costume drive going. That would be so fun. I think that has to be coming. We'll definitely be thinking about the details for that because I think that would be really fun. I think it's been so great for Grace and Lucy to have the opportunity to understand because they were so young. When you're 3 and 5, I mean, people are just giving you things all the time. I don't think that they really understood, but it's been cool now to actually have a goal and have these opportunities to give back to the organizations and people that really supported us. And so I look forward to kind of maybe seeing how that could evolve because I think it would be really fun. I think we could get people involved and engaged and to start learning about these organizations who are in your own backyard and that are supporting, you know, the families that they may know. And it's not hard. It's not hard to get involved. And I think that's something, you know, that we want to be able to do through our podcast is to let people know what's happening and encourage them to do something about it and see if they can help.
I think also, you know, I just think ahead and, you know, it'd be maybe great to have you on or just do another little quick tidbit after Halloween when costumes are half price or even less than that. I mean, I think that's always a good, I'm sure that's when you guys go crazy and buy a whole bunch of stuff. But, you know, if you're out there and you're going to the stores, you know, grab a handful of stuff, guys.
Is there anything else that you would like everyone to know about Chelsea's Closet and the work that you guys are doing that we didn't let everyone know yet?
Just that we are a small organization with a big reach, and volunteers for us are a huge part of what we do. And so if you're looking for volunteer opportunities, we would be more than happy to bring you into the fold and work with us, because we love our volunteers, and so much of what we do is, I couldn't survive without our volunteers.
Well, I think this is huge. And I think that, you know, I think that what I really appreciate is that a lot of high schools are really requiring a lot more volunteer hours for graduation and college. And I think what an amazing group of people who need the volunteer hours, but also are energetic and love this kind of work. And you guys, go tap into these people, get your volunteer hours, go volunteer for this amazing organization. I mean, you're not going to, it's fun. I was just going to say, you're not going to find a more fun place to volunteer, you guys. I mean, this is just great. So I love that you said that. Yeah, volunteer.
Volunteer, yeah. That's my biggest piece. The more the merrier.
And we'll definitely, you know, put all of this information, the website and where everyone can find Chelsea's Closet on our website. So making sure that everyone knows where to go, because that is so important to the piece. Again, making sure that we're sending them to the right information.
And in non-COVID years, when's your big gala?
Our big gala is in October. And we do virtual now, so.
Is this coming year, will it be virtual again as well?
It will be virtual again as well, just because we don't know what's going to happen by October. Mm-hmm. We just set our date, so we're excited about that. It is October 15th.
I would have to say that I'm sure the virtual one will be just as fun, but the in-person event was seriously like one of the, like, our favorite memories ever. It was so much fun. And just to see all of those people there for such a great cause. It was fun because we saw nurses. We saw, we see so many people that we know, like, mm-hmm. on a normal basis from the hospital. And then just to see them in a different light is always good, too. For, like, Grace and Lucy to see them, you know, not always just at the hospital, I think was really important too. And it also allowed us to connect with other families, which I think is so important, because it's one of those things when you meet another family who's experienced this journey, it's almost like instant friends. Like you get it. You don't have to do anything. You don't really even have to explain much of your backstory. You can just like start in and have a conversation and you're like, oh, we're going to be best friends forever. But I think that was just a really fun piece for us, because we got to meet Danielle and we also got to meet Shannon that day, and that was just such a wonderful connection, because we were so fortunate to be able to interview Danielle and her mom. Shannon also joined the conversation, but Danielle did a great job with the interview.
She's amazing. I adore her.
I would have to say, like, when you were describing Chelsea of like just wise beyond her years, Danielle is very similar. But I was just like, oh my goodness, girl, like you got a lot of great things going for you. And just being able to engage with other families and to hear their stories and just love on them. I really had a wonderful time at your event. It was so much fun. And just the memories always keep popping back up, and just like always sharing them. And thank you again.
That's the favorite part of our ball, is being able to have those families there, because there's so much time that I feel like our program is, we're there at the hospital for 2 hours. It's quick. I form relationships with people because I see them month after month after month. But being able to have them at the ball and hearing their story and letting them see how our foundation as a whole can support them and kind of put our arms around them. I want them to ask for more costumes. I want them to not feel like they can only get one costume. I want them to know, if you're there every month, we will get you a costume every month.
That was a surprise to us.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's so wonderful too, people who want to get involved and want to contribute, you know, for the event, and that financial level allows them to see and hear what our families actually go through, and like actually hearing them and having them tell the story is so different than, you know, reading, you know, a journal or something that you have posted about a family. There's just something about actually making that physical connection with them and wanting to do more. And so I think that that is a very valuable piece. But we definitely will look forward to October and keep everyone informed and where to be able to go to support the Chelsea Hicks Foundation. So the one thing that Laura and I have kind of set out here in season two is that we really wanted everyone to know that our podcast wasn't always sad. And we have a lot of fun. Like, I think Allison had mentioned, like, oh, you guys definitely should have recorded because we've had so much fun here today. And people could really see, you know, who we are. And just to let us know that, you know, we do talk about things that are sad and that do cause emotional feelings within us. Like, it's this whole journey is a very emotional place to be. But at the same time, there's so much good. And really taking that good and helping us push that forward and to let everyone know what is going on. Because I think our world is really special, but there's a lot of things that people can do to help. And we like to laugh.
Our new tagline is, we promise it's not all sad.
And so to end the show, we have a segment called Laugh Because We Know It's Good For Us. And for our question to Allison this week, it is, what song would you play if you were at a party?
I'm going to go with the song that Chelsea was well known for. I will preface this with inappropriate for a young child, but hilarious at the same time. She was known, there's a song, and I don't know the name of the song, but it's by the Pussycat Dolls.
All right, yeah.
Think way back then. And mm-hmm. The tagline is, don't you wish your girlfriend was hot like me?
Yes.
Oh, I don't know the name of the song, and she knew like three lines of
don't
it.
Don't you wish your girlfriend was hot like me? Yeah, I mean.
And she would stand there.
It's called Don'tcha.
Is it called Don'tcha? Okay. Yes.
She would sing this.
She would just that middle section, the bridge there.
Oh my gosh.
Hand on her hip.
Stop it.
Wiggling with her hand out and her finger.
Are you kidding me?
And she would do that to every new nurse,
oh my gosh,
doctor, intern, volunteer she would meet. And they would then bring people, you've got to see Chelsea sing this. You've got to see. The girl had serious attitude, she loved to sing. And it was just that line. And they would die laughing, walk out, bring somebody new in. That was Chelsea. Chelsea was just someone to be reckoned with. But that's the song I would play because it brings me such joy.
Yeah.
Because absolutely. I picture her being her silly, goofy self,
yeah,
bald head, hand on her hip, Miss Attitude.
Don't you?
I feel like the girls need to do a choreographed dance to that. That's all about just their hands on their hip,
yeah,
shaking their finger. Yeah. Okay. I love it.
So shout out to the Pussycat Dolls for that wonderful song.
We thank you. My 4-year-old was all over it.
I'm sure that is the perfect listener who they thought would listen to that song.
Like I said, highly inappropriate, but...
Nope, I love it. Are you kidding?
Cute on a 4-year-old.
Highly inappropriate goes out the door when you talk childhood cancer.
Yep, absolutely. Exactly. Are you kidding me? It doesn't exist.
Allison, thank you so much for being here today and driving over from the coast. And thank you for being here. It's just been the greatest afternoon.
This was really fun. So thank you, Allison, for your time and to sharing Chelsea with us, but also in sharing the work that you're doing with the Chelsea Hicks Foundation and just impacting so many families and allowing those children to be kids and to let them feel that joy and happiness. And we thank you for that.
ChelseaHicksFoundation.org. And check out Woman of the Year Glamour Magazine. I'm going to be doing a deep dive into that. Here we are today. That's how we should have started. We're here today with the Woman of the Year.
Well, it's not Woman of the Year. There was four of us.
No, just we like Woman of the Year. Woman of the Year. We're just going with...
Okay.
Yeah, they can't tell us. So sorry, Glamour Magazine, but Woman of the Year.
Stop it. Stop it. Are you kidding me? No, I can say whatever I want. It's our podcast.
Yeah, they can't tell us.
Thank you, guys. Thank you for being here. Till next time, guys. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Golden Voices podcast. For all the Golden Voices podcast news, please visit our website at www.bridgesatgold.com/podcast. You can always follow us on Facebook and Instagram. And remember, together, we are stronger.